This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to be talking about family law, focusing on biblical or Christian mediation, and which focuses on reconciling positive relationships for couples in divorce and trouble, and therefore the avoidance of litigation. My guests are John and Kimberly Thomas, their husband and wife. John is a family law trial specialist certified by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, NBTA, and is the director of the NBTA. Kimberly is a trained mediator who works alongside John as his law office manager and co-conciliator for mediations and conflict coaching of couples both in divorce and trouble. Their office is in Evanston, Wyoming. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, as well as the board funds the satellite transmission of this program. Additional funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Family Law Section of the State Bar of California, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. John and Kimberly, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Chuck.
It's really wonderful to have you here. Would you do this? Would you tell us what is biblical or Christian conciliation, and how is it different from the traditional mediation that most of us have heard of?
Well, Chuck, Christian conciliation is a process for reconciling people and resolving disputes out of court in a biblical manner. The process is conciliatory rather than adversarial in nature. That is, it encourages honest communication and reasonable cooperation rather than unnecessary contention and advocacy. And it differs from other types of mediation in that Christian conciliation is more values-oriented than most other types of mediation. While all mediators work to help the parties come to a voluntary settlement, many mediators are reluctant to go beyond this, especially if doing so would require that they evaluate others' attitudes and behavior from a moral perspective. We like to say, in a sense, that whenever you're in a conflict, there isn't just a problem in front of you or an issue, there's a person. And so that's the approach that differs in many ways from general other types of mediation.
I think it's important at this point to also mention, does someone who is, let's say your client, who is in Wyoming, if they are not a Christian, is this available to them also?
Oh, yes, Chuck. Christian conciliation is available to anyone. Many people who don't profess to be Christians have submitted disputes to conciliation and have been very pleased with the results. Christian conciliators evaluate each case on an individual basis. But the underlying principles of Christian conciliation apply beyond the Christian community. Everyone has generally heard of the Golden Rule. And basically that is to do to others what you would have them do to you. And even though that is originally stated in the Bible in Matthew 7, verse 12, that is something that most people are familiar with. And the principles that we require of people to be involved in conciliation apply in general across the whole spectrum of religious, non-religious, and the general population.
Now, we'd had a chance to talk, John and Kimberly, we had a chance to talk before we went on the air, and you mentioned to me that biblical or Christian conciliation can be used in a whole bunch of different areas of the law, such as medical malpractice, and employment law cases, et cetera, et cetera. Would you explain how does that work in that type of situation?
Well, yes, that's true, Chuck. I mean, it can be as simple, I think, as we talked about two neighbors having a problem over a barking dog, to a husband and wife who are struggling with an impending divorce, a family fighting over a relative's estate. It applies in all situations. You know, some of the cases involve monetary damages. And Christian conciliation can be used to resolve all types of conflict. Before attempting Christian mediation or arbitration, we try to supply people with the tools they need in order to resolve their conflict. And oftentimes, we'll meet with the parties ahead of time for what we like to call conflict coaching. And these principles go across a broad spectrum. You know, one of the things that we try to do, as most mediators in general try to do, is we try to provide a process satisfaction, that is, provide a fair and orderly process to people. We try to provide personal satisfaction. We treat people respectfully. And, you know, if you've gotten those two things and you accomplish that, while the product satisfaction is important, that can sometimes not be as important as people knowing that they've been treated fairly and they've gone through a fair and orderly process, and we seek just solutions. So these are principles that apply in every case, really.
Pardon me, go ahead, John.
Yeah, well, you may ask, well, what is conflict? And, you know, you can have a very broad definition of conflict. Essentially, conflict happens when you're at odds with another person over either what you think, what you want, or what you do. And so it goes across many, many areas of dispute.
So when you say conflict coaching, give us a couple of some examples of what you mean by that.
Well, Chuck, it often means bringing someone to an understanding of how they may have contributed to the problem.
I see.
Most of us in conflict are pretty quick to point out whose fault it was, and it's rarely ours.
But that's right. It's the other person. Always the other person.
Absolutely. But in any conflict, I may only be 2% responsible for the conflict, but I am still 100% responsible for my 2%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we just find that people truly are hungry to understand the conflict that they're in, how they got there, and just to hear one another's story. We find it remarkable when we bring conflicted parties together and give them a safe place to speak out their own stories. They may have never heard the story from the other person's perspective.
And so when you are doing your co-conciliation together like this, I presume you will have both parties with you in the same room, is that correct?
We may start in separate meetings with people to get a feel for where they're at in the conflict. Do we need to deal with some anger issues first? Do we need to help them understand their part first and then bring them together then to work together? Yes, we don't like shuttling from one room to another between parties.
Chuck, a lot of people go into conflict and they're usually with, you know, lack hope. And we try to point them in the initial meetings that we may have with them individually or both of them together to see conflict really as an opportunity to grow and to serve others. And even in the midst of conflict, people can live out their highest values and beliefs.
When you do this co-conciliation, you are doing this for parties who are not your clients. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So you are hired, that's probably not the correct word to use, but you are retained as co-conciliators to help either divorcing parties or parties in trouble, couples in trouble, who may or may not be represented by each of which by an attorney. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Now, if both of them are represented by their separate attorneys, do you have the attorneys in the room with you while you're working with these clients?
Yes, we've done several cases where we invite, if sometimes the parties are already involved in the legal system.
So they've already filed a lawsuit.
Yes, we speak with their attorneys, the parties, whoever has contacted us. Oftentimes it's another attorney who knows that we do this type of conflict coaching and mediation. We'll be contacted by them, and we send out letters to the attorneys. We really look forward to their participation. It's a little bit different. We let the parties speak. The things that we say, just like in other mediations, during a mediation, are confidential.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So people have to be able to have the freedom to talk freely. And we have had two parties, for example, in a divorce, each represented by an attorney. And then we've even asked them to have advisors or supporters, someone that can speak honestly into their lives. So in one case, we had the parties, each of their attorneys, and they each had two of these advisors with them that had either been members of their church or family members or people that they knew and trusted just from growing up. That's a big room, but it really does work well.
So as co-conciliators, when you have these other advisors who are there besides the attorneys, you are welcoming their input into the discussion as you're working to mediate these problems that these people have?
Yes. Oftentimes the lawyers can give them advice from a legal perspective, advise them what they may be looking at, should they go to court, and counseling them in that way.
May I ask you this, John? Mm-hmm. When you get the lawyers in this room with you and Kimberly, and you just mentioned that the mediation is confidential, do you have both the parties, that is the divorcing couples, as well as the lawyers and also perhaps the advisors who you've mentioned, do you have them all sign some kind of a document saying that we agree that this is confidential and we will not use what has been said here during this mediation should this matter not be mediated and completed but may go to trial?
Yes, we do. We have each of them sign a confidentiality agreement.
What?
The other thing that makes this unique, Chuck, is that within this context, people who are in conflict and may be having trouble seeing the reality of their situation have people who can speak individually into their lives and have the freedom to hear sometimes gentle criticism,
mm-hmm.
when they may not be seeing things quite clearly, or to actually challenge them to rise to the situation. Very different.
The use of biblical or Christian conciliation, is that something that is used throughout the United States?
Yes. Peacemaker Ministries, where the organization through which I'm certified as a Christian conciliator, has numerous Christian conciliators that they've certified throughout the country. And in anticipation of appearing on your program tonight, I printed out a list of certified Christian conciliators in California. And people can go to the Peacemaker Ministries website anywhere in the country and look up Christian conciliators in their vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
And that website is
www.peacemaker.net.
Peacemaker is singular, not plural. Is that right?
It is.
Okay, www.peacemaker.net. Let me just, since we're about nearly 15, yeah, about 15 minutes into the program. For those of you who perhaps came in a little bit late, this is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're talking about family law. And by the way, family law, biblical or Christian conciliation, mediation, which is focusing on reconciling positive relationships for couples in divorce or trouble, and with the whole thing of either helping people to get through a divorce, and if they can, or whatever the trouble may be between the couples, the avoidance of litigation. Now, for those of you who are listening to the program live, and we are live in the San Francisco Bay Area, we're live on the internet throughout the country on www.klw.org, and now live on the NPR public radio satellite. We are doing this program live on July 22nd, and in the second half hour, I will be giving the toll-free number. And if you have any questions, you can call in with your family law questions if you have some. So I just wanted to let you know that. My guests on this segment of Your Legal Rights are John and Kimberly Thomas. They're husband and wife. They are co-conciliators, co-mediators in dealing with mediation for couples who are in trouble. John is a family law trial specialist certified by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, NBTA. He's the director of NBTA, and Kimberly is a trained mediator. She works alongside John as his office manager in Evanston, Wyoming, and also co-conciliator for mediations and conflict coaching of couples in divorce and trouble. One of the things I'd like to let you know about, if you want to learn more about the National Board of Trial Advocacy, is its website, should you want to learn something about the certification information or something more about the organization, which is a national organization and recently has become one of the funders of Your Legal Rights. That website is www.nbtalawyers.org. nbtalawyers.org. So let's talk in the remaining few minutes that we have of the statewide version of the program about some of the other things that how did you both decide that you were going to get together and do this co-mediation? I mean, the idea of husband and wife doing this to me sounds very appealing with respect to couples who are perhaps initially at each other's throats. Many people are, unfortunately, in divorces. But how did you both get together in deciding to do co-mediation?
Well, Chuck, when you talk about couples that are at each other's throats, you probably would have described John and I in the early years of our marriage.
Really?
When I got John, I got a package deal with two children.
Uh-huh.
And our friends would tell you that we've had a 31-year marriage, and the last 25 to 26 years have been great, but those first 5 to 6 years were pretty rough. And we were fortunate to be surrounded by a group of couples in our Bible study who held out hope for us. And as John mentioned earlier, that's often the missing key to couples who are struggling, is they simply don't have hope that change can come and that anything can be different.
That's very interesting.
So for us to be able to do this as husband and wife, not only do we see things from different perspectives as men and women, but we also bring our own experiences, and we can go ahead and tell our own stories. And we've been told from the couples we work with that that's a good element in what we do, that we're willing to open our lives to scrutiny, too, and show them the difference that's been made in our lives.
You know, Chuck, we're often involved in cross-cultural conflicts where people of different cultures, just because of their cultures, misunderstand one another and become involved in conflict. But what I like to tell Kimberly is the greatest cultural difference is probably between men and women.
Yeah.
And that's one of the areas that we enjoy being conciliators. It's very helpful having a husband and wife or a man and a woman involved, especially in family law disputes. We both see things a little bit differently, and it's always good to have another set of eyes and ears during a mediation and to help the parties. I believe they also think that they have someone on their side, even though we are neutral. Having both a husband and a wife, I think, gives them some assurance that it's a fair process.
Tell me, if you would, how are you going, with the recent decision of the U.S. Supreme Court in Obergefell versus Hodges, which has now nationally, the decision is that same-sex marriage is a right of people in the United States. How are Christian conciliators going to deal with this? Can you tell us?
Well, I can't speak for all Christian conciliators. I can probably only speak for myself. But people are people, and God created us. And what we do as Christian conciliators can apply to anyone. You know, one thing that distinguishes us as Christian conciliators is we focus not only what we should do, the law, but also on what God has done and is doing for those who trust in Him. God has forgiven our sins and made peace with us through the death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. He's given us the freedom and power to turn from sin, to be formed to the likeness of Christ, and we are called as Christians to be ambassadors of reconciliation. So we spread that freedom and the ability to conciliation for people to be reconciled to one another, no matter what their present circumstances are. And that would be our focus, just as it is in any of our mediations or conflict coaching, is to help people be reconciled to one another,
as well as to
reconcile their particular conflict they're involved with.
So I don't want to put I don't want to make this difficult for you or any of the other Christian conciliators, but do you feel generally, John and Kimberly, that same-sex couples will be treated by Christian or biblical conciliators as they would treat a man and a woman who are couples, whether married or living together or whatever? Do you think that that is going to be something that same-sex people can expect?
Oh, definitely, Chuck.
Good. I'm very glad to hear that, and of course that's the way it should be, in my opinion. But you know, there's a lot of, with respect to the Obergefell decision, a lot of people now are taking, or a good percentage of people are taking the position that I don't want to deal with or provide products or services to same-sex people, whether it's marrying them or providing whatever it is, and this is becoming an issue that I think is going to be last for quite a while. But I don't want to make that the major portion of what we're going to be talking now about. What else? Now, I want to give that Peacemaker website again for people who may be interested, and that's a national organization, is it not, the Peacemaker Ministries?
Yes, it is.
So that's www.peacemaker, PEACEMAKER.net, in case you are interested, wherever you may be, if you're listening to this program, whether it's in California or any other state, and are looking for a Christian co-conciliator or conciliator, that's a great source to use. In the remaining few minutes that we have of the statewide version, and when I say the statewide version, in California, for those of you who are not familiar with this, we record the first half hour of this hour-long program, and then it's distributed by the station to 15 other stations, which air the program mostly in California the following week. And by the way, I want to let all of you know that next week, on July 29th, we are going to have our Call a Lawyer Night. And this is when, while I'm doing a live program, this is when we'll have a number of attorneys here in the conference room at the station, KALW in San Francisco. They'll have an 800 number, and people, while I'm doing the live program, At the same time, between 7 to 8 p.m. California time, people can call in and speak to one of probably seven or eight attorneys off the air on an 800 number. I'll give that to you now, and that's going to be on July 29th. It's 800-525-9917, 800-525-9917. That's for next week. Next week, Wednesday, July 29th. In the remaining couple of minutes, do you have, John and Kimberly, any other thoughts that you'd like to propose or let us know about?
Well, we've talked a lot, Chuck, about couples in conflict situations, but probably one of our favorite cases was actually brought to us by a grandson who contacted our offices just before Thanksgiving and said, I won't go through another holiday season with my grandparents at war with each other.
Poor kid. I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
We didn't ever get to meet him in person. We talked to him on the phone, but we sat down with his four grandparents and worked through some issues. Unfortunately for him, in the process, the grandparents found out how he had played each of them for different things, helping him outfit his new car and work on his car. And I think the two grandpas were going to be sitting down and having a few conversations with him.
So he wasn't totally upfront with both of you before this sitting down took place.
Yes, he was. And spirit of reconciliation and wanting his grandparents to be reconciled to each other was really a big motivation to the parties to reconcile, knowing how much their grandson wanted them to be in a good relationship with each other. That was a wonderful mediation.
Well, that's a very interesting thing, and maybe we can talk more about that when we go into the second half hour that we are going to go into in just about a few seconds. All right, everybody, this is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program on family law, focusing on co-mediation, biblical or Christian co-mediation, or conciliation, I should say. I want to give you our toll-free number and invite you to call in if you have questions about family law, whatever it may be. Now, please understand that my guest, John Thomas, is a certified family law trial specialist in Evanston, Wyoming. But, you know, my feeling about this is that the basic principles of family law, although the laws may differ from state to state, the basic principles in terms of how people should deal with each other are probably pretty much the same throughout the United States. So our number, toll-free number, is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And for those of you who may have joined us in the last few minutes, we are talking about biblical or Christian conciliation. This focuses on reconciling positive relationships for couples in divorce and the avoidance of litigation. My guests are John and Kimberly Thomas, their husband and wife. John is a family law trial specialist certified by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, NBTA. He's a director of NBTA. And Kimberly is a trained mediator who works alongside John as his law office manager and co-conciliator for mediations and conflict coaching of couples in divorce or in trouble. And they're in Evanston, Wyoming. One thing before we take our first call that I'd like to ask you both about is, I understand, John and Kimberly, that you actually do this co-mediation, Christian conciliation, co-conciliation, in various parts of the world. How does this come about?
Well, Chuck, being part of a Christian denomination, we're called to use our skills and our gifts that God has given us to help people, not just here in our own community, but around the world. And part of that involves going to the world. And recently, we were able to help mediate a situation in one of the Balkan states. And after that, we were able to go and do a training session in Spain. there are people all around the world that are looking for peace. And we're trying to do our little part to help that situation. People are in conflict in every area of the world. And if we can do something just to help one small group, we're going to try to do it.
Well, all right. For those of you who would like to call in, I want to welcome you to call in with whatever questions you might have about family law and how perhaps you might want to pose the question or the problem to my guests and ask them what kind of recommendation they might have for you in terms of you going forward. One of the things that I want to let all of you know is that the State Bar of California does not permit my guests to give specific legal advice, but when you call in with a question or a comment or a concern or a problem, what my guests can do is more generally give you some direction of what to do next. So please, if you would, don't be bashful. This is a very, I have found in the years that I have been doing this program, which is now in its 31st year, principally funded by the State Bar of California, I have found that one of the areas of the law where people are most reticent to call in about is family law. And they either don't want their spouse, whether they live together or they're estranged or whatever, to hear their voice or whatever. So it's a very difficult thing, but I hope you would feel comfortable enough to, if you do have a question, a problem, or a concern, to call in. And again, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. For a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services Program, which the San Francisco Bar Association has, you can call 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, California, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. That's 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone for you, an attorney who's experienced in the area, and they'll set you up for a half-an-hour consultation. And by the way, this is something that is done throughout California. Every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service, which you can call during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone who's experienced, an attorney who's experienced in the area, and they'll set you up for a half an hour consultation. And with minor exception, the charge for half an hour is somewhere between $25 to $35. This is a great service to the public. The money doesn't go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep the service ongoing. So that's something that you might look into. I'm not sure, John and Kimberly, what the situation is throughout the United States with regard to lawyer referral, but I would think there are programs like this throughout the United States where people can get some basic information through their own community law bar association.
All right. I know here in Little Evanston, Wyoming, we try to do as a local bar association in our county a free legal law night, we call it, at least once a quarter when people can come. We have volunteer attorneys available, and they can discuss their cases with them free of charge. And all states, I believe, have lawyer referral services, including the Wyoming State Bar.
Well, that's good. That's very important. And for next week, by the way, when we do call a lawyer, I think that Keith Clifford, who's a certified specialist, NBTA certified specialist, is going to be one of the persons available. And Keith does all kinds of professional litigation et cetera. And I think he might be available with the by phone, of course, whereas the other attorneys for Kololoia will be here in the conference room. You know, people are bashful. They're not calling in, and I wish they would, because this is what this program is all about. When I designed this, and by the way, everybody, if you're not familiar with me, wherever you may be, I've been a lawyer for 50 years, believe it or not. And the last 30 have been as a deputy district attorney in San Mateo County, California, doing consumer protection. But I designed this program 31 years ago as something to help people learn something about their legal rights and obligations, and also to avoid problems if they could, and what they can do if they're in the midst of a problem, trying to get some help to try to resolve it. So if you are having a problem, it's certainly in the family law area, and you would like to pose your question, certainly I welcome you to do so, and hope that you will feel comfortable enough to do it. If you don't want to have your voice heard on the air, my assistant, Martin McLean, will, if you'll be succinct, he will jot down your question or your comment, and he'll bring it into the studio, and you won't have to have your voice heard. So again, the magic toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Tell us, if you would, Kimberly and John, where have you found the real difficulties in trying to do your co-conciliation?
Well, the real difficulty, Chuck, is when people wait a long time before seeking help.
Yeah.
And they get to the point, as Kimberly has talked earlier in the program, the point of where they have no hope that things can be different, that things can change. Part of our Christian conciliation is getting involved with people in the early stages, doing conflict coaching with them individually. The first thing that we try to help people with is on an individual one-to-one basis. How can you talk to this other person that you're in conflict with so that they understand your position, but also how can you listen to understand their position? And sometimes it's just a matter, as Kimberly said earlier, about hearing each other's side, being able to understand each other, and we help people do that. If that can take place early on in a conflict situation, it's much more likely to be resolved in a way that people can accept, as opposed to getting to the stage of involving lawyers and in a formal mediation process.
This type of mediation, and we're going to get to our first caller in just a moment, this type of mediation, should you be successful and avoid litigation, that means going into court and having a trial, etc., can actually save people money, can it not?
Oh, definitely, Chuck. It can. I mean, I have cases in my office that are thousands and thousands of thousands of dollars, and I just successfully completed a mediation where you're talking a few hundred dollars.
Yeah. This is very important for people to realize that in terms of educating themselves, if you do have a conflict, how very powerful and effective mediation can be. Well, here's our first caller. He's a brave man. Bill, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you. I'm not that brave, but thank you. And I do appreciate the program. Reconciliation, I wish I had time for that, or I wish my wife would consider it. Right now, her hostility for me is just off the chart.
Too bad.
She filed for divorce.
Too bad.
And it's happening here in San Francisco. And it's really hard for me. And but what's making it a little bit harder is the spousal support option, which she does not want to settle with out of court.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a child. He's 5 years old. And we have, I made a rough calculation using this software program. Maybe your guests know about it, but it basically estimates her income, my income, and what my obligation for child support will be, and what her spousal support for me will be.
Her spousal support for you. Okay, so she's making more money than you are then, is that right?
Yeah, quite a bit. I'm actually partially unemployed, mm-hmm. and having a hard time. And,
so tell me, what is the question you want to pose, Bill?
Well, I do know, after making a preliminary court appearance, that if I do make a motion for spousal support, that it will require somewhat of an outlay of money from me in order to get that going. At
least an outlay to your attorney, is that right?
And I don't have an attorney.
Ah. Okay.
She's representing herself, and I'm representing myself.
Oh, really? Neither of you are represented by attorneys?
Well, she does have an attorney, but she's chosen, at least for this divorce measure, to go in pro per.
Hmm. That's very interesting.
Yeah, and I do think that if I were to obtain an attorney, which I really don't have the money for, that she would immediately resume the previous family law attorney she's been working with. I'm curious, is there, for someone who's near indigent as me, is there some sort of program that I can at least file for a motion for spousal support that will not require some kind of outlay of my own money?
Let me suggest this to you. There is, for every county in California, there's an office called the Family Law Facilitator's Office. Are you aware of that?
I am aware of that here at Civic Center in San Francisco.
And they can, have you been there at all?
I did go there last year when she immediately filed.
Mm-hmm.
I confess I haven't spent a lot of time with the staff there, but I
think you need to go back, Bill. I think you need to go back, because that's where you may find some valuable help in terms of them giving you some direction. They won't go into court for you, but they'll give you direction in terms of what documents to file. You and your wife are not living together, right?
That's true.
Okay. Have you and she talked at all about trying to get some mediation going here?
Well, during the child support, but child custody, I actually filed my own child custody petition because it was basically withholding my son from me, and I did engage and begin a petition in court that's been active. It's since been merged with her divorce petition, and there has been some preliminary mediation, but it's really been, I'd have to say, kind of insubstantial.
That's mediation. There is, in California, the law is that there will be mediation with regard to child custody. That's part of the mandatory law. But let me get some comments from John and Kimberly for you, Bill, because obviously it sounds like you and your wife are having a very difficult time saying hello. John and Kimberly, what thoughts do you have for Bill?
Well, he may want to contact the website for Peacemaker Ministries to see if there's a conciliator in his area that may be able to help him and possibly do some conflict coaching, Bill, that might be helpful.
Did you get the website, Bill?
PeacemakerMinistries.com?
No. No, it's www.peacemaker.net. Let me repeat it again. www.peacemaker, PEACEMAKER.net.
Thank you. Got it. Yeah. I came in a little late, but thank you.
You might want to do that, and you might want to gently try to get your wife to give some consideration, because it may help both of you, get over this very difficult time.
Yeah, and the financial advantage that your guest just explained earlier is, to me, seems to be the best incentive at all.
Yeah, yeah. She may go for that. Go ahead, Kimberly.
Probably even more important would be the fact that the two of you are going to continue to need to co-parent your 5-year-old.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to take a lot of time.
Yes.
Many, many years.
Yes, he's 5 years old, so yeah.
And there may well be grandchildren.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope they stay healthy long enough, yeah.
So your relationship is going to last a long time.
I do hope so, yeah, without embarrassing my wife a little too much.
Well, yeah, no, of course not. Yeah. Well, Bill, I hope this has been of some help.
It has. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck to you. I'm very glad you called. And I think we have a second person. There are no women calling. I'd like to have the women calling. We've got George. George, welcome to the program.
Well, should I change my voice?
Why not, George? That'd be good. That's fine. Yeah.
And by the way, it's not my real name, but that's the way.
George. That's okay. Don't worry about it.
Okay. No, I'm listening to this, because thinking back to my own situation of 20 plus years ago, and to put it succinctly, my. And we're okay now, by the way. I still see my ex. And yes, like you said, the previous caller, yes, I have grandchildren now. And so I still spend my holidays with my ex, her new husband, and the grandkids. But, it works kind of, sort of. So, I'm on the other end of his spectrum. So,
are you remarried, George?
I am living in a long-term relationship with a woman who, for her own reasons, does not wish to marry. Been trying to make that happen for 20 odd years, but
but does she share the holidays with you and
absolutely.
Your? Well, that's wonderful. So your significant other,
she's grandma to them.
Ah, that's wonderful.
Her grandma and her first name, which I will not give because.
Of course not.
No,
of course not. No, that's terrific.
But the thing I wanted to say is because, and I originally got interested in this because part of our discord was Christianity itself. My ex had at that time said, well, she wanted to be a minister, and I wasn't making a great deal of money. I'm, as a person in my particular physical handicap, I'd not paid what I do. I wasn't paid a lot of money. And she and the church wanted me just to throw it all in. I just couldn't see it, and basically, it ended up, we ended up splitting, and life went on. But I just, I still remember one of the things she said. Well, I love you, but I love God more. And I have to admit, I look at anything that says ministry to this very day with skepticism.
Do you?
Yeah, I
do. You? That's interesting. Let me get John and Kimberly to respond to that.
Well, loving God is very important, Bill. And as a Christian myself, God through Jesus Christ reconciled me to Him, and He may have also reconciled my neighbor over here to Him, or my wife to Him. He is not going to have that part of the reconciliation be in place and not want the two people to also be reconciled to one another. So anything that would involve creating a conflict or dispute between you and your first wife is not something that I believe was the optimum solution there. if you can hear what I'm saying, someone reconciled to God is going to want to be reconciled to their spouse as well.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry that you had that bad experience in that relationship.
Well, that's it's long ago and far away, and I can only say, but I do have real problem, and therefore I look at this and I wonder if it really can work. So, anyway,
George, let me ask you a question, if you don't mind. Did your former wife, did she become a minister?
For about 5 years.
Oh.
It was in the mainline denomination where you could, basically, she wanted to go to a divinity school, and I just didn't have money, then she went and did a pastor associate. I'm not sure what, but she did that for a few years and then did not. I don't think it was right for her, but I don't feel that the that the church was in any way supportive of me at that time.
Really?
And so I've really not gone back.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah. Too bad. We also do mediations involving church conflict. and that would have definitely been a situation, George, from your position there, of not feeling having been treated fairly by the church, that Peacemaker sure could have been helpful to you, I think, in that regard as well.
Well, water under the bridge, and, you know, we've gone on our lives. So, anyway, thank you
all
much.
I really commend you, George, for your relationship and looking out for the interests of your children and others. And,
how old are you? How old is your kid now, or your children now, George?
Well, it's my one daughter, and she's in her 30s, and now we have grandkids ages from 12 down to 4.
So, oh, my goodness.
Actually, almost 13. I'd better get used to it. She'll be 13 next month. So.
that's a dangerous age, so be careful.
Oh,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. All right. Thanks so much.
George, thanks very much for calling. Okay, we have a few more minutes. If there's any of you would like to come in with your own story or your question or your comment, the number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Again, if you are interested in learning more about the National Board of Trial Advocacy, abbreviated NBTA, which is a national organization. The website is www.nbtalawyers.org. You'll see quite a bit of information about it. We will be doing a number of programs this year funded by the NBTA, and I'm very pleased that the NBTA has came in about the beginning of May, and helped us to be able to go on to the NPR public radio satellite as a national program. And, of course, we're trying to have people from various states join us with their questions, et cetera, et cetera. But if you have a question for either my guests or a comment or a story that you'd like to recite, the toll-free number 866-798-8255. Kimberly and John, we have a few minutes left in the program, probably 3 or 4, something like that. Do you have some other thoughts that have occurred to you that you'd like to mention to all of us before we end the program?
Well, just quickly, to kind of key off of something that George said as he talked about his grandchildren, I think that's one of the aspects for us that makes Christian conciliation and mediation so important, and you brought it out too as well, Chuck, that these are lifetime relationships. There are going to be grandchildren, and there are going to be graduations and weddings and recitals, and even if the marriage is not intact, there's a parenting relationship, there's a grandparenting relationship there that needs to be developed. And when there is high hostility, like our first caller Bill had, there has to be an avenue for dealing with that and to go on and to have those interactive relationships.
Well, let's hope for Bill that he's able to kind of communicate to his wife the value of trying to mediate their differences and trying to at least develop a reconciliation for the future.
Yes.
Not necessarily getting back together possibly as husband and wife, but at least as the parents of this 5-year-old. And so
that's very important.
Yeah,
Chuck.
I'm
glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Even Kimberly's and my position in doing Christian conciliation and mediation is, yes, we first look at reconciling the relationship. Unfortunately, the marriage does not always continue on. Now, some Christian conciliators would end their involvement at that point. We believe in continuing on and helping them through the process so that they can get through the divorce process in as much of a peaceful way as they can. And we have done that. And we have then been contacted later in follow-up with situations arise as children get older. I remember one, helping the parties decide, okay, how are we going to pay for college education? What part are you going to pay? How much are we going to have the children pay? And being called by that couple again. So we can still speak into their lives, even if the marriage relationship is not salvaged. The ongoing relationship that they will have is still very important.
One of the things that was brought to me with regard to, I think it was Bill, Bill said he was in San Francisco. Under peacemaker.net, Martin McLean, who's my associate on this program, brought me a note that at peacemaker.net, there is a Christian conciliator, and that's Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-E-N, Maloney, M-A-L-O-N-E-Y, M-A-L-O-N-E-Y, in Oakland, California. So, Bill, if you're still listening, you might want to try to contact Kristen Maloney and see if there might be some way of helping you and your wife try to get a better understanding of each other, and hopefully not have this very, very high hostility continue. We have probably, I think, about half a minute of the program left. Last half minute, anything either of you, Kimberly or John, want to say?
I know a lot of people may be reluctant to be involved in Christian conciliation, Chuck, but as we talked early on in the program, the principles apply across to everyone. When we do a conciliation or mediation, we just ask the parties be honest, do what's just and merciful, accept your responsibility for your action, admit your wrongs, keep your word, and not only be concerned about your interests, but also the interests of others.
I thank you both.
Summed up, do unto others as you would have them do to you, and that'll go a long way across the board.
I thank you both very much for joining us, John and Kimberly Thomas, husband and wife. I thank you very much for joining us on the program. We've come to the end of the program. John is a family law trial specialist certified by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. He's also a director of the NBTA. Kimberly is a trained mediator who works alongside John as his office manager and co-conciliator for mediations and conflict coaching of couples in divorce or trouble. They're in Evanston, Wyoming. I just want to let you know that the production staff credits are your legal rights staff members, program engineer Debbie Kennedy. Debbie, nice to have you with us. And production assistant Martin McLean. Next week, in case you're interested, since we've been talking about mediation, the topic is mediation of labor and employment law cases and disputes. My guests are labor and employment law attorneys Mark Rudy and Lisa Klerman, who now specialize as mediators. Mark was awarded the 2013 Mediator of the Year Award by the San Francisco Trial Lawyers Association, and Lisa is a clinical professor of law and the director of the USC Law School Mediation Clinic. And funding for this program has been made possible by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program. Additional funding for your legal rights is made possible by the Trust and Estate section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law section of the State Bar, that's of California, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. And thank you very much for joining us on Your Legal Rights. And please join us next time. And I really enjoy it when you call in. So take care of yourselves. I'm Chuck Finney.